Bird on Bears fans, we are here for a Bears Monday, and he's here. He's in person. He's in person. Lance Briggs is in the building with us, reacting to what we saw from that Bears versus Packers. I mean, listen, there's only one good way to say a debacle that we saw yesterday on the field. We got to talk about the game plan, talk about what we saw.
It was bad.
On both sides of the ball. First things first, how you feeling, man? Outside of the Bears, how are you?
Hey, man, listen, every day above ground, man, is a blessed one. So, you know, got to be thankful. Got to be thankful.
100%. 100%. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, it's good to have you here in the studio for once, man. And, you know, hopefully we'll be able to, even in a depressing pod, fill this up with laughter. Because even Chicago's crying today. Like, I swear the forecast was not supposed to be rain yesterday. Sure. It's pouring rain after that loss. Like, come on now. Even Chicago's the first quarter. But let's jump into this thing, man. We do want to let you guys know, podcast brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana. Lance, let's start off here. I think it's the conversation where everybody's been having. Everybody's been focusing in on most. The offensive game plan that we saw yesterday from the Chicago Bears. Four passes go over 10 yards. Justin Fields talked after the game and said that the game plan was the short passing game. What happened? Like, that's really
what happened.
What happened? Like, how is that? You don't play anybody in the preseason. You don't play any of your starters. Okay, fine. You know what Packers team you have coming in. You've got players and coaches who have been on that team.
Right.
And they caught you by surprise yesterday.
Well, number one, you have to realize that you know we're not the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah,
you know we're not the Chargers. You know we're not one of those high powered offenses, and we are going against one of the top defensive pass rushes, one of the top defensive backfields in the league.
I love Luke Mendez. I'm not gonna lie.
Right. So you know, I mean, with that being said, you know, the short pass game. You know, I mean that makes sense.
Right.
It does make sense. But the other thing that does make sense against a team like that is, what do we do best? We run football. But even more important than running the football, quarterback called runs. Quarterback called runs. Now, I'm not saying I don't think that you need to do that every week, but against a specific group, you know, and we have all this time to prepare for them. I was a little disappointed with the game plan, but more important than the game plan was the preparation. You know what I mean? Who are the guys that are going to line up in front? It starts up front.
Yeah.
Who are the guys going to line up in front, and is the chemistry there? Have they built the chemistry? Have all these guys have been in their pads, you know what I mean, banging around, picking up blitzes, picking up games from defensive linemen, you know what I mean, building the chemistry, the most important chemistry on the football field, which is the O-line. No. So you can't do that and throw a group out there and say, hey, go be successful.
Yeah. My biggest concern right now with where we're sitting at is this Hits principle that was so prevalent last season, this Hits principle that was the theme of the Chicago Bears team last season. I didn't see any of that yesterday. I didn't see a ton of it in going through training camp. I kept asking, you know, this Hits principle, it doesn't seem like, you know, we're going deep into this. If I'm going with the hustle, intensity, takeaway, smart aspect of it, right? The first two words, hustle and intensity. If I'm hustling intensely, I'm going to have small dick. No, that sounded crazy. Nicks and dings. Hey, yo, where's Cam and Mace when you need them? Somebody's going to clip that up for sure. Hey,
Lance. This guy's going viral.
Hey, yo, that's crazy. let me pull the shorts down on that one. Hey, cancel Pat. Okay, Eric. Eric dropping a cancel Pat.
Oh, that's amazing.
No, but you're going to have small nicks and dings that pop up throughout your training camp. Move past it. And at the end of the day, If I know that that's a product of what our principle is, I shouldn't be sitting guys because of the product of the principle. And I'm not the person that, listen, at the end of the day, if you don't play everybody in preseason and you start off the season fine, that's fine. But it absolutely feels like most of the league, And I watched a lot of football yesterday.
Yeah.
There was a lot of bad football on yesterday because it seemed like everybody basically is now saying first two games of the season, we don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part that I think gets under the fan's skin is now you're in this situation where you're behind in the division. You lost to your rival because you were ill-prepared. You didn't get these guys ready for this game. This offensive line, I mean, realistically, outside of what, the 13 snaps in the fourth preseason game, this is the first time they play together.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem.
Let me ask you this: is football is it an aggressive sport?
Very.
Is it a violent sport?
Very.
Okay. Well, if you're going to be prepared for a sport that's aggressive and violent,
yeah,
you got to get out and get your body ready to be aggressive and violent.
J-Mac said that. Said the same thing. He said, and y'all can speak to this. If you're not prepared to get hit, it will shock you when you get into a game.
Even at the professional level. Even at the professional level, one of the first things that I, you know, just each year, you know, after having an off season where, you know, hey, we all fit, you know, in OTAs, everybody's fit, everybody's where they're supposed to be, you know what I mean? But come training camp, you know, it's strap your stuff up. Let's go. You know what I mean? We know we're banging around these first 3 days, like our ones and ones, we're going at it. You know what I mean? We're going at it. You know, we're not pulling back on Matt Forte or whoever the running backs are, whoever that is. We're gonna bang around. We got to get our bodies ready.
Right.
You know, now there's going to be a practice where we're going to be, hey, we going, all right?
Right.
We've been here about a week now. Let's ease up a little bit. All right. You know, and that kind of deal. But you got to get your body prepared for what is going to be asked of you for 17 weeks.
Where do you feel this team was the most ill-prepared?
Well, on the offensive side, O-line.
Yeah.
And the success of your team on offensively and defensively starts up front. And if you're not gelling, you don't have chemistry, and you're not ready, you get what exactly happened.
You get what you saw.
Defensively, effort. Effort, effort, effort. This is supposed to be an effort
team. Back to the hits principle, right?
It's supposed to be an effort team. And there was a lack of effort. To me, there was some issues with eye discipline.
Yeah.
You know, some eye discipline issues. And to me, you know, linebackers not playing downhill enough too. You know, safety's not keeping an eye on a fall down play, tight end fall down play, him running out, running wide open.
Who did you see that was on? We were trying to fit. Me and J Mac were trying to figure that out yesterday. Was that on the line? That was on the safety.
The safety. But you know, here's the issue too. You know, there's a lack of effort on defensive side, but also lack of communication.
Yeah.
Before the snap of the ball, I didn't hear anything. I didn't hear a peep. I didn't hear any alerts. I didn't hear who I got him. I got this. Hey, check this. Near back. I got this. Hey, alert back. Alert back. Back. Hey, alert dive. Alert crosser. Alert crosser.
Yeah.
That's 11. That's 11 guys.
Right.
That's 11 guys. All right. More particularly the back seven, but there should be something that the defensive line should be keying on beforehand, giving each other keys and alerts and reminders. The linebacker should be giving keys and alerts and reminders, and the defensive back should be giving keys and alerts and reminders.
Yeah.
Each play.
Yeah.
All right. Now, if I don't hear that stuff, it's just like, okay, let's just get lined up and play what we see. All right. And that is a problem for me.
Yeah, there was a absolute concern on both sides. I think in the first half, you could come out of that first half and say, okay, they're kind of doing the whole feeling out process. Let's see what the Packers are bringing. Let's see what we want to see. My biggest issue is that you came out of the halftime, which last season, remember, the Bears were actually pretty good adjusting at the half to what they were seeing and how they were. You came out with the same plan. It was like I really think, and I don't know whether this happened or not, but I really think Luke Getsy thought that there was a different Packers defense on the field, because last year we didn't see a ton of blitz from the Packers. We didn't see a ton of the Packers.
No way.
Getting in the backfield.
He spent too much time over there, spent too much time around those guys to not know what they were getting into.
But Joe Barry playing more aggressive this season. He even said that coming in.
But it's not, regardless of that, yeah. Kenny Clark is Kenny Clark.
You knew what Kenny Clark was going to
do. You know they got what? What do they have? Eight first rounders or something like that. You right. know what I mean? You know what they got over there. You know what I mean? You spent too much time to not know what we're getting into.
So as somebody who was able to attack the quarterback a lot in your career, what adjustments would you think that you would have seen if you were on that field right that the offense should have made to make it easier? Because Justin Fields, whether we like it or not, and we can have our complaints on Justin, short passes, all of that, he was pressured 42% of the time. That now leads the NFL, which also led the NFL last season by him. We invested all this in a Nate Davis, all of that, and we'll talk about the offense as a whole. But realistically, I looked at the coaching coming out of the second half, and I was like, we're doing more of what we did in the first, but worse.
Well, I mean, I keep saying this. I keep saying, you know, I mean, go out there and be successful.
Yeah.
Well, it's too late.
Yeah.
You know, it's too late to have the offensive line with the right chemistry gelled, you know, on game day.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But in that situation, don't you go Mercedes Lewis in there or Robert Tonyan to help block?
What's
Robert
that Tonyan
didn't play.
What's that going to do?
It doesn't help Lucas Patrick. It doesn't.
What's it going to do? That's what I'm saying. You know, a lot of penalties, a bunch of penalties. There were countless second and 20s. First and 15s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't – there's no plays for those down in distances, you know?
Are you telling me there's nothing?
There's
Nagy say? Nagy had that one play. It was third and 40. He was like, I don't have a play for that.
You don't have a play for that. You don't have – you know what I mean? You're very reduced to what you can do.
Yeah.
And so you're going to get booed from the fans because you got to run a play to get yourself closer to open your playbook up. So you're going to run a draw screen so you can get yourself a few yards closer, maybe get it to second and nine.
Yeah.
And now it opens up what we can might be able to do a little more.
If you're on the defensive side, what adjustments would you have liked to see the coaches make? Because I guess the biggest question I have is you guys were successful in getting pressure in your defense with four. They were not yesterday. When do you make the adjustment of, we got to bring more than four in this?
Well, I would have brought – that would have been part of the game plan. You know, we have a young quarterback. Make this quarterback think fast. We're going to bring it. You know what I mean? Just because I played in a – we played in the Tampa 2 system doesn't mean that we didn't blitz. Like, we knew when we were going to blitz. We knew when we were going to dial up blitz.
Yeah, yeah.
And this was a situation where you want to dial up blitz. Now, the other thing, too, is in order to get in blitz situations, you have to win on first down. The Bears didn't win on first down very much. You know what I mean? They were dealing with third and short situations,
right,
second
and
short situations. And it's harder to dial up blitzes when you don't win on first down. So that's a problem. That was one of the problems. But there were some second and long situations. There were some third and medium.
You had a third and 13.
13, yeah. There's a third and medium situation. In those situations, I would have brought him.
Yeah.
I would have brought him and made Jordan Love think fast and make a mistake, and we would have taken advantage.
And that was the thing. I'm just sitting there. I'm like, you're not bringing the pressure. Okay, so that means you got the guys in coverage to cover it. Wait a minute. Romeo Dobbs is wide open in the middle of the field again. Jordan Reed is wide open in the middle of the field again.
It was a very conservative game plan. I will say that, you know, and it was the kind of game plan that you have for Aaron Rodgers. Jordan Love.
Yes, that is exactly what it looked like. They thought Rodgers was on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up – and it's almost like, right, when athletes are like, if you try to play to not get hurt, you end up hurting yourself
mm-hmm.
because you're doing something. It was like, we're trying to play so that we don't shoot ourselves in the foot. Meanwhile, we keep repeatedly unloading the clip in this right foot here, and now we can't run no more.
Yeah.
Like that's exactly what the game plan looked like yesterday.
You know, you have their top receivers out. It was a situation where
who is at best? I like Christian Watson.
Yeah.
He ain't a finished product yet.
Right, right. He's also a product of Aaron Rodgers' system, of an Aaron Rodgers quarterback system. You know, so but you know, whatever, man. There's nothing we can do about it now.
Yeah.
However, you're going back on it. You know, you have to make the young quarterbacks. You got to make them prove themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, Jordan hasn't proven himself to be in an Aaron-esque ball club.
Yeah. Yesterday's game plan, I think, will go down as the biggest conundrum that we've seen to start a season in a long time. Like, normally I'm sitting here questioning, like, okay, did you guys execute the game plan the right way? They came out after the game and was like, no, that was the plan. That was your plan? Wait a minute. Like, no, we practiced.
You got to stand on it. Hey, listen,
we practiced
stand on it. At least you got to stand on it. I like that. Second quarter.
Oh, man, let's keep this thing moving along. Let's jump into the second quarter here and kind of get into more of the players. We do want to let you guys know it's brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino, Northern Indiana. You can see Sticks on October 13th at Hard Rock Live. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
What song does Sticks sing?
Why you do that? Come sail away. That's the only one. That's the only one I got.
There's some Sticks fans in the building.
Come sail away with me. Let's see. What's a good Sticks song? That's probably. Is that it? I don't know. I have nothing. Mr. Robot. No, that's not them.
Mr. What?
Mr. Roboto.
Mr. Roboto. The Roboto.
Babe. I don't know, Babe.
I got you,
Sticks,
Babe.
Mr. Roboto.
Yeah.
Or maybe they just performed Mr. Roboto. Maybe that's not.
I'm Biden. Sure it's what.
Hey, listen, I'm 29. I don't know this. I know a lot of old music. I don't know what's going on. Yeah, sure. Let's get into this because the second quarter here, right? Who did you see? Right? There's always the what did you see? Who did you see that you felt on the offensive side of the football? We got some concerns moving
Lucas Patrick
into next week. Woo, that right off the bat. the cough says it all. I'm not gonna. The throat also, clear says it all.
But you know, listen, man, it's the offensive line is too important. It's too important, and this game is too important to hold people back from getting themselves prepared. You have there's getting conditioned. There's being in condition for football, and then there's being in football condition.
Yeah,
you know, like you can say, hey, man, I'm running 3 miles a day. You know what I mean? That's good. Awesome. But you've got to put your pads down. You got to start banging around. You know, you have to bang around. I look at some of my my youth football players or my freshman football players, you know, out in Arizona. And it's like, if we're not banging around each play, what do you expect? And for some of the kids, you know, it's like, coach, I don't think that I'm going to be playing football. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was cool in the spring and the summer. You were all over it. You know what I mean? You were making all the calls. You were flying around. You were communicating. You were like, man, I love it. But then we start banging around. It's like, hey, we're scrimmaging. Hey, we're doing these drills. And it's boom, boom, bang, bang, boom, boom, bang, bang.
That's how they took that Omaha drill away. Yeah.
I think I'm going to step away from the game, right? You know what I mean? That's what you have to get your body ready for, you know? And so my biggest concern is the offensive line. We cannot be successful if they're not intact.
I looked at, and maybe, I don't know if I'm concerned about the player, but the usage of the player. DJ Moore getting two targets. I don't, right? Like, I get the argument of, you got to force feed them and you can't force. I get both sides, right? For Bears fans, it's like, force feed this guy. I'm force feeding it to Justin Jefferson. We got to force feed him. I also get the side that's like, but he was double teamed all game. But the best wide receivers get double teamed all game. That's why they're the best wide receivers. And the Chicago Bears usage of DJ Moore is one of the most baffling things I've seen on the offensive side of football. It's not like we just traded a first round pick for this guy, Lance. We traded the first overall pick. Now, granted, we get picks back, it makes it better. But the first overall pick for him.
What baffles you? What baffles you? Tell me what baffles you.
That you didn't have a game plan that was prepared for them to double team him, even knowing that Justin Fields might face pressure. Because this offensive line hasn't played together. You didn't have something in the short game. You didn't have something underneath. Heck, I don't even think we saw him get one of those screen passes that he took to the house in preseason. Like, if you're going to throw a screen pass to somebody, let's throw it to the dude that, he already caught one 3 yards in the backfield and turned it into something.
I think he was in the game plan. I believe he was in the game plan. You know, I believe that all of them were in the game plan. And if you have I'll address this first. You know, if you have someone that's double teaming your wide receiver, then you're getting Somebody else is open. And then you go to them until they move that person away. Then you come back.
Right.
However, none of the game plan is going to work if your offensive line ain't blocking.
This is true.
You know what I mean? None of that stuff. So, you know, if the Bears have a pocket the way the Green Bay Packers had a pocket all day long,
dominant,
then everybody gets satisfied on the touches that DJ Moore gets, that Mooney gets, that Kmet gets. But none of them, see, and this is the problem with football is people think that, oh, a great wide receiver, oh man, this great wide receiver, we should be dominant.
Right.
No, you don't understand the game. You can't get the ball to the receiver if you don't have blocking. You can't run the ball if the O-line doesn't block well.
But I think the hard part for the average fan that's seeing it now is that we see guys who have terrible offensive line play be successful in spite of it, right?
Against the top defensive lines in the league?
Joey B made it to the Super Bowl.
Against the top defensive lines in the league?
He played the Bills on the way to that Super Bowl.
But I'm saying, were they playing the top defensive line, one of the top defensive lines and top defensive backs in the league?
They played some pretty good defensive lines in the AFC there, Lance.
On that specific day, right. There's things that have to be accounted for.
Right.
You know what I mean? With these guys not getting these touches.
Right, 100%.
Or the success of this team or what they wanted to do. They weren't able to impose any sort of will because the Green Bay defense was doing that.
Right.
You know, so there was a game plan. Of course, there's a game plan that had DJ Moore involved in it.
Yeah.
Heavily. Yeah. We couldn't get to it.
Yeah.
We could not get to it.
But I guess that's the biggest question mark then, right? Like, listen, I don't know what's going on with Nate Davis. I have zero idea. They said combination of injury and personal. This week he was out due to personal. I have zero idea. But at the end of the day, he's not on the field. He's not building that cohesive piece with Darnell Wright.
And what condition is he in?
I have no idea. J-Mac said this yesterday. He was like, I can count the practices he was at on one hand through training camp. And I said, training camp this week? He was at one. He was at one practice. Like, I don't – and I get it personal. Like, I said this yesterday too, right? Like, the part that the average fan forgets is y'all are real people.
Mm-hmm.
They look at the – it's a guy on my TV screen. They think of y'all like Madden characters. That's not true. Y'all go through things. Y'all have things that pop up. But this is compounded with Nate Davis coming from Tennessee. And when everybody was like, hey, Vrabel, why didn't you re-sign this guy? He goes, we don't want guys that don't practice.
Yeah.
Nothing that has happened here in Chicago, including the play on that field on Sunday night, says anything different than the reason that Vrabel was willing to get rid of him.
Listen, for all the fantasy football fans and the fans that love the positions that are glorified, you know, you really need to learn about the game.
Yeah.
You really need to learn about the game of football, you know.
Also, you win a lot more in fantasy if you pick the team that has a good offensive line, players correct. From that team. Correct. I'm just saying.
Correct. But, you know, but the your offense and your favorite players – they will go as their offensive line is able to protect.
100%.
Or as effective as their offensive line will be. And their defensive line as well on the defensive side. So, you know what I mean? If you're wondering why your favorite players aren't getting, you know, they're not getting the touches or you're not seeing them dancing in the end zone, you know, look to the offensive line and see what we need to do to get that fixed. And glorify them. You glorify them, then the success will happen for all the commercial players.
And I think that even speaks to it too, right? Like the situation that the Bears are in now. I get it. Tevin Jenkins is important. But you shouldn't lose a left guard and have no answers. Like that, like, I get Tevin Jenkins is very important. I'm not saying he's not. Him going down kind of throws things off because you're putting people in positions that you weren't preparing for them to be in. But you had no shout out Simo and all of that. Like, he sounds like he's a great offensive line coach, but that offensive blocking scheme didn't look very good because we didn't have one guy. Oh, by the way, those guys didn't play 95% of that third preseason game together.
Yeah, it was tough to watch that pocket because there was nowhere for Justin to step up.
Yeah.
He had to throw off his back foot.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that you don't want your quarterbacks to do. You want them to be able to step up, trust the blocking that's happening, but there's so much push coming up. You know, I mean, he had to stay back. Now you got guys coming from the edges. It just opens it up for that quarter for them to hit that quarterback, tee off on him. And that's tough stuff, man. It's tough stuff to do. And it's tough to say, okay, I need you to go out. Why isn't Justin Fields successful today?
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of reasons.
Yeah, I can't wait till the All 22 drops Wednesday. I'm going to be scouring that because I really want to see what the offensive line gave. There's one – I don't know if you saw this. This is one play where they literally they use the defensive end to basically just get Braxton Jones out the way, and Kenny Clark just comes flying around. And Cody Whitehair is like, I don't know what to do with that. Like that, I felt like that was so much of what
rough,
we saw.
It's rough, but again, like – to answer a lot of the questions that not only you have, but a lot of people have,
yeah.
until we figure this thing out, we're going to struggle getting the guys the ball like DJ Moore and Mooney and Komet and Roshan Johnson. We're going to struggle getting all of them the ball until we get this thing worked out.
Yeah, and that's really what it comes down to. I think that I don't even think Justin, like, the pick was bad. The pick was crazy bad.
But absolutely.
That pick was crazy bad. Like, yeah. that does need to be. And he said, listen, I never played linebacker or quarterback in the NFL. He said he thought he saw cover zero. I looked at the pre-snap. I was like, where'd you see cover zero here? He's got me a little concerned. It's not crazy concerned. But I looked at that, and I was like, I don't look like cover zero in the slightest, bro. Like, I don't know what you saw there. But – hopefully we work all of that out, yeah. Man.
Mistakes happen. That was a bad throw.
But you know what? That throw's not bad if we see more from the other aspects offensively of the game.
That throw was bad.
It's bad, but it doesn't make you feel as bad. Like you're like, oh, he had a bad pick. But he's played well.
It was compounded
because at that point we're like, wow, you just threw a pick six. We're down 24-6 to a team that has a brand new quarterback, and he looks elite right now. Not really, but his numbers look elite right now. Like he didn't. I didn't even. I watched Jordan Love's game yesterday. I was like, okay, yeah. I mean, like he got the deep ball, broken play. He got the short pass that turns into a long touchdown. Now his numbers look great. Now we're going to have to deal with Packers fans like, Jordan Love put three on y'all head when really, like, the receivers did all the work here. Mm-hmm. But, hey, he won nonetheless. It still sucks. Yep. Definitely want to get Lance's thoughts on the defensive side of the football as well as we head into this third quarter. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, drop your comments, drop your questions. There's so many questions that we all have here. Don't worry. It's not just you. I mean, listen, we asked the question on offense on the defensive side. Mm-hmm. Who did you see that was a big concern for you moving into next week?
On the defensive side. All 11.
All 11.
Effort. You know, we say defensively, if we get 11 guys running to the ball with high effort, you know, hits or whatever you want to call it, we can make up for mistakes along the way. And it's true. It's true. If you watch Green Bay's defensive line attack our screen passes, and then you watch the Bears, how they approached Green Bay's screen passes, you'll see the difference in effort. You'll see a line that recognizes it and beelines it right now.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you see the Bears, whether they recognize it or not, they're not turning and running to the ball right now. All right. This makes a difference.
Yeah.
You know, and it's one of the telltale signs of these. You're either tired, you're not being coached for effort, or you don't care.
Yeah.
So it's one of those few things, you know. So and that's disappointing. The tight end fall down play where the tight end is running wide open, you know, that is an alert. That is an alert. You know, somebody's got to tell it, especially, and you know, listen, that's a young guy. I think he's a rookie. All right. Pretty sure that was a rookie.
It looked like they thought Love fumbled and like somebody was going to get it. Like it almost looked like the defense all went.
I watched him because his guy's running. He's thinking it's a boot. He's like, oh shoot, I gotta get here. Oh, I forgot to cover my guy.
Yeah.
Where's my guy? You know, and the same way that you would attack a rookie or a young quarterback, you'll blitz him, is the same way that when you know that there's going to be a young guy over a tight end, we're going to do the fall down play, and they're going to fall for it.
Mm.
All right. It's one of those things where you need to practice it. You need to practice it. You need to practice it. It should be an alert. It should be an alert. I'll tell you right now, when I was younger and I was playing next to Urlacher, as soon as they found there was a formation, it was Urlacher, it was Mike Brown. They say, hey, alert, alert, tight end fall. Okay. And I'll be damned if I got beat on a tight end fall down play.
Yeah.
Well, on this alert, because they run it in this situation. They typically run it in this situation. They like to, or if it's a team that likes to run it all the time, we're going to run it all the time.
Right.
You know, but we don't stop doing it. We're doing that play at least once or twice a week.
Yeah.
Because we want you to etch it in your head to know, you know, I mean, hey, this is what they're going to try to trick us with this. So there were some things that happened, and I think it's collective, but the number one thing is effort. You know, number two is communication. You know, I don't hear. They're quiet
yeah.
before the snap of the ball. And that's disheartening for me, because it's like you're not talking about any communication, no alerts. You don't have tight bunch. Hey, go up. You know what I mean? Press. Hey, alert this. Alert star right. Hey, you know what I mean?
That's no crazy. Alerts. Now I'm thinking about like watching y'all my whole life, and I did used to hear y'all just screaming on the field.
Yeah. Yes.
That never even clicked with me as something of like – that it was just so common.
Yeah.
And it was quiet yesterday, now that you pointed out.
I remember we had games where we said specifically, it's going to be all signs this week.
Yeah.
So everything we're going to do is all signs. We're not even going to speak. So it was silent, but we had signs that we were all telling each other.
You know, it was
for our alerts and this like that. It was certain, it was certain things. But we, you know, it's again, like I said, it's disheartening to not hear people communicating. You have young guys in mixed with older guys, and you want to make sure that we're all on the same page. Yeah. How are you make sure you're on the same page? Not by guessing that you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's by communicating. You give a call, get a call.
Yeah. There was too much. To me, I think the one thing it starts with, of course, we talked about the game plan, but just listen, Yannick Ngakoue's got the lone sack. And it was a big one. He put him down. It was a nice hit. But outside of that, realistically, It looked to me, and I want to get your opinion on this, it literally looked like the Bears were just trying to go forward. It didn't look like there was a lot of stunts. Didn't look like there was a lot of, you know, trying to mix things up and confuse the linemen and different things like that.
Well, the situation was prime, because you have a lot of times you have three one-on-ones.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's the best you could ask for is a one-on-one. You get the one-on-one win. You know,
win.
it's literally you versus him. Yeah. You know, and a lot of times you have this, you have a three tech, you have a two way go, you got a defensive end, you got another defensive end over here with a nose being taken up to the center and the guard.
Right.
Right. So you have the three one on ones that you want.
Yeah.
Why aren't you winning? Yeah. That's what it comes down to. Now at the same time, all right, we've got two first round picks next year.
Yeah.
So as much as we all want the Bears to be where they what we want them to be, and Carolina not looking like they're gonna be very good, right? They're not looking like very good, right? And we not very good. We might get two top 10 picks, but you know what I mean. But you gotta understand, we're working towards something. We're working towards something, and there's no easy fixes. You know, I don't believe in the easy fix quick fix. You know what I mean? Next year we're gonna get the premier pass rusher.
Yeah.
Guarantee we're going to get the premier pass rusher. We'll probably get another O-lineman, too, or two premier pass rushers, you know, whatever. But that changes. That's a game changer for us defensively.
It's tough, right, because I saw – you kind of see – you see Yannick create pressure, and you're just sitting there going, hey, where's DeMarcus? Like, we didn't hear any of the names. And realistically, listen, I like Justin Jones. I like the fire. I like the passion.
Mm-hmm.
He can't beat this man one-on-one. I saw that all game yesterday. And the Packers have a really the Packers have a really good offensive line. The Packers offensive line issues have come from health. But they have I don't know if he beat his man one-on-one once yesterday. and that's a problem when that's just starting. He's basically your starting three technique right now.
And you got your rookies.
Right.
And you at what point do you see that enough to be like, listen, we're going to dial up some blitzes because we can't hit home?
Yeah.
We've been there.
And when
I've been there, we're gonna start blitzing. Hey, listen, we're gonna start blitzing.
Yeah.
Because our defensive line can't hit home. It's one of those. It's like that. Straight up.
Yeah. And it's not like they didn't blitz all night, right? Like they, and you can't remember the Titans. That's also what Bears fans want, right? They want Coach Boone over there. We're gonna blitz all night. I don't want them to gain another yard. You know what I mean? Like, it's not realistic in real football. We got to talk about this one day too. They solved racism in a city in a high school football season. That's like 8 weeks. That's crazy. But anyway, but realistically,
not surprising
when you. There are players. Wait a minute, dog. Hold on now. No, but I just like when you saw them do it with Tremaine. I think here's the part that irritates it. The things that we're talking about, they did them a couple of times and they worked.
Mm-hmm.
There was one time running backs coming up, they had Tremaine blitz in the gap.
Yeah.
He slams into the running back and kills him. Oh.
Oh, no. I think he was just a run fit. That was just a run fit.
Just a run fit.
That was just one. A run fit. He doesn't, but that's the problem with where I saw the linebackers weren't coming downhill enough.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I know they were probably they looked like they were in a 7-man front a lot, which that means they had two deep safeties. But the running back, when they ran the ball, they stayed play side.
Yeah.
You know, so if they ran this side, if he got the ball to the right, he stayed to the right. All right. Typically, if you get into a 7-man front or a two safety shell,
mm-hmm.
it gives the running back the option to bend it back. You know what I mean? Because you're doubling all the defensive linemen on the run.
Yeah.
But they stay play side, so our linebackers should come down. But play side.
I was
play it play it. Side until he bends it back, and then we'll start to respect that. But if he stay play side, come down, and that's what Tremaine did on that play. He came down and he smacked
him. And he caught him. And I felt like we didn't see enough of that.
Right.
Like you said, correct. Right? Like, we didn't see enough of it because we've talked about Tremaine as this fast. He's supposed to be our Urlacher now, basically. He's fast. He's long. He can cover both sides of the field.
Mm.
I don't like the face you made on that.
I don't like the way you said it, but it's okay. You know what I mean? I'm carrying on. I'm pushing on.
That's the problem. You know what I mean? Go home. No, just like it's one of those situations where it's like you're not. Yesterday, it felt like Green Bay put their players offensively and defensively, whether they're the talent that we think they are or not, in a position to be successful. And it felt like the Bears didn't utilize our players that way.
No, we weren't prepared. We weren't prepared. We were outcoached. We were out hit.
Yeah,
we were out effort. The effort from Green Bay was the effort that I was hoping to see from the Bears.
It felt like this is great. The team that has now beaten us 9 straight times looked at yesterday's game as a rivalry game. And how the Bears came into that game, even here, like, listen, I know, right?
That.
There are friends and different things like that. Like, I get it. But hearing Justin Fields be like, no, me and Jordan Love are cool. We're friends. You know what I mean? Like, okay, fine. But this week you ain't friends.
Right, but I mean, somebody. What was the question that was asked though?
They asked them. It was basically about what was it? Are you gaining? Do you have any inkling on the game plan? It was a weird question on the game plan because you work out with Jordan Love, and Justin was like, "We have the same agent. We work out together in the offseason. We're friends."
Yeah,
like I don't know anything outside of that.
Right,
but you can't be friends this week. and it's not to say not just specifically that comment, but it felt like the Chicago Bears came into this game as if it was another game that you're going to play. And the Packers came in like, hey, we play the Bears this week. It's a rivalry week. We coming out. We finna attack.
Mm. Can't argue that.
That's the
can't
problem.
Argue that. Can we?
Four quarter.
What about are we going to talk about Justin Fields' dress? His attire,
the swag,
the lace front with the nip slip.
I'm not gonna lie to you. We skipped halftime, but we got to get into this.
Mm-hmm.
The attire yesterday.
Come on,
we've seen some interesting attire out here, Lance.
Come on,
but
get that Hugh Hefner get up.
Hey, bro, what kind of shape you got to be in to pull that off, though? Can you not wear that at any point?
You got to be in Magic Mike type shape.
Russell Westbrook will wear that same you did.
Yes.
To every game, though. You know what I mean? That's, it's hot out there.
And my thing, too, was hey, you win this game, wear whatever you want. But,
but now it's like,
don't bring that in.
Now that you lost.
Don't bring that. Don't bring bedroom attire into on the football field, please.
He just put pants with his nightshirt is what you're saying. That's what he did. They did this, though. They did the what was it, dunk or something that the Bears did, basically a copper drop for a lot of the attire. And they was upset at socks and sandals. You a socks and sandals guy?
Absolutely.
Fam, I feel uncomfortable if I don't got socks on with the flops.
No, I'm sorry. No. I don't know. I don't have socks on with my sandals.
You
no,
free because, toeing the flops?
Well, here's the thing. We do our feet an injustice by smashing our toes all the time in our shoes.
Right.
I'm from California, man. So I'm, you know what I mean, I'm house shoes anyway.
Yeah.
I'm house shoes and you guys call it out here shower shoes. I do my shower shoes, right? But I like my toes to be free. I like my toes to be free. You know what I mean? If you look, the damage that I've done wearing cleats, wearing tight cleats all my life, you know, you get your toe pinched up like this. You got these calluses and these things that are happening. Your toe starts to turn. You know what I mean? That's from these shoes, wearing these hot, nice little shoes and all these little numbers you got when you're not supposed to. Your toes are supposed to be free.
So wait a minute. You out here with Megatron feet?
Megatron feet. I got L Boogie feet. What you mean?
Ooh. As long as you ain't got prime time.
Right. No. Yeah. Oh, no. Hey, boy, got six toes.
Get well. Man, get well out here, coach. You know what I mean? Every win, they take one. But I love seeing him. I love seeing the success, man. But he be killing me riding around in the cart, though.
Yeah.
Because his foot hurt.
Yeah.
He'd be like, I'm sick of this. Yeah. He'd be like, just drive away after yelling at me. Y'all get this bull jive together.
Right.
You know how confused I'd be if a coach pulled off on me on the field?
Man, he's got some incredible buzz around that college. You know, lot to be thankful for in that CU community.
Yeah, it's you want to, speaking of that conversation to this one, the impressive part is the line play ain't that good.
No.
And they keep making plays.
Right. I mean, you know, that's something that's going to be shored up for him. You know what I mean? It's going to be shored up for him, you know, after this year and moving forward. But you know, they're competing.
I don't care. And listen, speak to this. He swapped out 90 dudes. How hard is that? Not to say you ever been there, but like being a college player, like if your whole team just wasn't there and they brought in 90 new dudes, how hard is that?
To me, I'm one of the few. I'm one of the few that can play.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. If Deion believes that I can play, I'm still here. I'm still standing. Hey, that says a lot about who I am.
Deion, with these pregame speeches, Deion could get you to play right now. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm sitting here. Yeah. I'm like, I'm ready to run through a wall.
If you're still there,
yeah,
you had to be thinking before he even got here. Like, man, I'm surrounded by mediocrity.
Yeah,
like there's a lot of mediocrity here.
I think that's the weird part. Like, there was a lot of people that were upset. Well, I don't know if the players were. I don't remember hearing the players be upset. But there were a lot of the media that was upset when he came in. Remember, he comes in, he says, I'm bringing my luggage.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
Yeah.
More importantly than any of the media that's saying any of that, how did the CU community feel?
Oh, listen.
I bet you the CU community said, do what you got to do, coach. We're right behind you, coach. Hey,
the players might not have, but the fans absolutely
did.
That
community, I bet you they're like, hey, we believe in what you're doing.
Yeah.
Keep doing it.
Yeah.
We've been through too much. We've been through too many losing seasons. We were 1-11 last year.
I ain't even know Colorado had a college. I ain't going to lie to you. I'm not.
The 90s? The late 80s, 90s, Colorado? Woo! That's national championship?
I was born in 94, brother.
That's true. That's true.
I missed it. You know what I mean? I was watching the Bulls. That's all I had.
That's true. Well, fair enough.
You forget, 90s TV, you only had your region.
Yes, that's fair enough.
I got the Lakers at 10 o'clock. That was it. You know what I mean? Hey, man, let's finish it out on this because we love hearing from you guys, the fans. Every week, the fourth quarter is going to be dedicated to you guys and Justin Fields' sheer shirt. So comment in any questions that you have. We want to have Lance answer them every week on a Monday. I'll usually drop a video or you can just tweet them at me and I'll be able to get them. Just be as in a league that has tried to relegate most defensive advantages out of the game, how do the Bears not have an offensive identity in year three with Fields?
Well, I don't know if you saw the rest of this podcast, but starts up front and it ends up front. You know, you want success? Yeah, you focus on that offensive line. Get that offensive line as many reps at practice together, banging around, hitting, and seeing everything that we need, that they need, then you'll find some success.
Wyatt Daniel chimes in. He says, what is it like as a defensive player knowing that a team won't throw downfield?
It's great. It's great. You know, I mean, that's for a lot of times, listen, for a lot of times when we played Green Bay and the Packers, that's what they did. That, you know, he knew we were going to be running, and they knew that we were going to give up the short passes. We'd give up the short passes. We'd break up. We break up and make the play, try to take the ball away, you know, and try to score. That's what we did.
Did you have a situation like this where there was a guy that you came in through the week prepping for that you were like, he can throw downfield?
But, Drew Brees.
But the team won't.
Nah, Drew Brees, when with the Saints, yeah. they're gonna test you. They're gonna test all the places that teams typically won't. You know, they're gonna test us down the middle when typically people won't because Urlacher was down there.
Yeah,
you know, and shoot, they'd hit two out of five. You know, they'd hit 2 out of 5. You know, just being bold enough to do it. Yeah. You know, but that also opens up opportunities for us defensively because he's Urlacher so tall, running down that middle, throwing that ball just a little bit higher than he wanted to, gives our safeties opportunity to make plays.
Yeah, Drew Brees is the ultimate. He was the ultimate. He was the king of the check down, basically. Like,
love that check down.
He loved that check down.
The way he practiced, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Did you see, because Justin Fields utilized the check down a lot.
Yeah.
Did it take him too long to get to the check down at times? Because the one thing about Drew Brees was, if that wasn't there, that.
Yeah.
Like, and it was like, huh, got it.
Right. I want to get it to you as fast as possible to give you an opportunity to maybe do something. You know, I don't know that, maybe if that's the way the system works, if that's the way he, you know, gets, he wants it, but I don't know. I'm refraining from any sort of judgment.
Tweets by Jay says, I thought the secondary was supposed to be one of the strongest units, but they looked like arguably the worst out of any unit. What happened?
I wouldn't say all that, but I would say that we don't get that, not at all. You know what I mean? If you don't get any pressure, you know, defensive backfield gets exposed. That's the way, you know, defense is based off of timing as well. And if you don't have, if defensive line, if the pass rush isn't getting to the quarterback within 4 seconds, then pass coverage breaks down.
Yeah. Can we all do this, by the way, because I'm sure the numbers will come out and everybody will try to use it against Justin Fields. Can we all acknowledge that the offensive line was bad? Because last season, the only stat that came out of it was, well, Justin Fields led the NFL in time to throw the football. It's like, yeah, he was running for his life to the left and then to the right, and then he decided to go forward. What is, and this is a me question, what is it like when – a team just won't go vertical though? Cause even with Drew Brees on the you know, short passing game, he's throwing it forward. The Bears were throwing left and right all day. What does that do in the mind of a defender?
It speaks to, you know, how much respect they have for us, you know, defensively. You know, that Green Bay defense is pretty doggone good. All right, they're very good. There are special ways to prepare for a team that you know has a really good pass rush and have really good pass coverage.
Yeah,
pass coverage team. So, you know, at points like that, you gotta figure out. You also gotta say, okay, what do we do best?
Yeah,
and how can we expose them doing what we do best? And what do they do best? Quarterback runs.
The one quarterback designed run we saw was when he just ran
straight.
What was that? I was sitting there, I was like, what was supposed to be the outcome of that play? Like, let's get one more in here. I had dyslexia for a minute. His name is Burns Sutton, 420. Oh, I see what he did there. I like that. Shout out to him. Claypool looked bored out there. How do we want him to act?
Well, I'll tell you this.
That is a name that we didn't bring up in this pod.
We didn't. But, you know.
It wasn't brought up on the field, though.
No, you know, you had an opportunity where you had one of those wide receiver hitches. Yeah, you know, wide receiver hitches. Yeah. You're the biggest receiver we have. And why are you getting driven all the way through the backfield and into the receiver by a DB?
Yeah. That was one of the worst plays. That wasn't the worst play, though. I don't know if you saw this. And take a second to just slow it down. And if you're a Bears fan, maybe you get a little enjoyment out of it. Maybe you don't. When Roshan Johnson ran over Rudy Ford
and then jumped over him,
there's a person that just goes flying.
Oh, yeah.
Chase Claypool. That was Chase.
Oh, is that right?
As Roshan hits him right before, Chase is supposed to be, I think it's just supposed to be a rub. I don't know what he was doing, but he gets hit. He just goes left. And if you didn't see it, you would think somebody inserted it. I swear. I watched it yesterday. I was like, Jesus, dog. Like, that's not what I want to see from my, what is he, 6'4", 260? He's supposed to be a specimen on the field. We traded draft capital for this guy. I was high on him. I was like, yeah, they left him in Pittsburgh to die with Kenny Throw a Pickett, who I told y'all that boy was struggling. But I come out of week one. Let's end this on a positive outlook, or an attempted positive outlook, I guess.
Okay.
You've been in these situations before where you've had the gut punch game.
Mm-hmm.
How do you mentally come out of this preparing to say, it is what it is, we got to go to week two and get a win now, let's get the job done?
Well, first thing you do is you open that tape up and you look at the tape. And
this ain't a Bernie game.
You know, hey, you be accountable for what role you played in it.
Yeah.
Then we get back to our fundamentals, get back to doing what we're supposed to be doing on a daily basis. You know, don't allow for you to sit out. Don't allow for us to, oh, we're not going to run these plays today. Don't worry about it. We'll get those in later on today. Yeah. No, run everything that you're supposed to do. Make all the communications you're supposed to, okay? And play with a low pad level. If you're not doing all that stuff, even if you're not doing all that stuff, then it's not good enough. Set a standard.
Are they basically, like, it sounds crazy to say, but are they basically practicing stuff during the game pretty much? That's how it feels. Going through a practice, but like you're not. But the practice isn't it. What I mean by that is,
I can't get on board with that.
Y'all practice. You guys' practices were much more intense, right? Like, you're going to run it. You're going to keep running that same play. You're going to – and, I mean, J-Mac he's like, man, we was practicing 2 hours. You got a 2-hour break, and then you was practicing two more hours. So y'all were prepared. You were a little more beat up for sure, but you were prepared for what you were coming into the game with. It seems like, at least from what I saw around the league on Sunday – there's a lot of times where it seems like a lot of teams, not just the Bears, by the way, Giants. Wow. It seems like a lot of teams, though, were doing things that they just hadn't worked on enough. And by week 7, we'll be like, they're fine. I expect the Bengals to be competing for an AFC championship this season. I do. That offensive line looks god-awful, though, right now.
Well, if they don't fix that, they won't be competing for any championships. All right. You can love you some Jamar Chase, some T. Higgins, you know, all those players, Joe Burrow. But if their offensive line's not ticking, boom.
But they got to the Super Bowl with that bad boom. Offensive line.
That's not an explosion. That's an implosion.
That's an implosion. Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, I think the implosion is Joe Burrow going to be like, hey, I got to get up out of here. Y'all don't want to
protect me. Not for this money we just paid you, buddy.
Hey, y'all got to find me somewhere to be. Y'all can't protect me. Hey, man, we appreciate you guys for tuning in to another episode of the Chicago Bears podcast. Lance Briggs in person is an absolutely amazing time. Appreciate you for coming through. As always, Lance, hit that like button. Subscribe to the page. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. At the end of the day, Bear done. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Peace.